This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
In the final four of both the NBA and the NHL, last night, NBA, this seems like it might be a sweep in the NBA. I mean, maybe the T-Wolves get a game from the Thunder, but OKC honors Shai Gilgeous-Alexander before the game with the MVP. They go on to win by 15 over the Timberwolves, 118-103. This feels like it could be a sweep on that side. And then, of course, tonight, I can't wait tonight. This is amazing, this Pacers-Knicks storyline. Great, great documentary. And, you know, one of these, like, it's like a 30 for 30. I don't know exactly what it was. They were showing Knicks-Pacers going through all the stuff from the 90s. Reggie Miller, lots of interviews, John Starks, Patrick Ewing last night. And I sat Max down, my 11-year-old son. I'm like, you got to watch this, like this Reggie Miller stuff against the Knicks in this series. It was amazing. And then he could relate it to what happened the other night with Halliburton and the choke sign and all that. Pretty amazing. So really good stuff. Obviously, Toronto Maple Leafs had a chance to get there. They didn't. They had a 2-0 lead on the Florida Panthers. They ultimately fall once again in the playoffs. And joining us on the Western Hotline right now is our good buddy Carlo Koliakovo from up in Toronto. Radio, Leafs alum, Sabres as well. Hey, good morning to you, buddy. Is it as wet and rainy in the GTA lately as it has been here in Buffalo?
Oh, Sal, I've been trying to get over the misery of what this week has brought us, and the weather has just not done us any favors. Holy crap. We're at the end of May, and I haven't even put shorts on.
Oh, my gosh. I know, yeah, and today is like going to be like 50 here, too.
Oh, brutal. I'm glad to be joining you on the West Her Hotline, though, that's for sure.
I love that. Listen, thanks for doing this. Always appreciate it. I have so many things we want to get to. I want to take them in succession here so we don't kind of, you know, complicate things. I got, obviously, what happened in the playoffs. I got Marner, I got Shanahan, I got playoffs overall. So let's just start with overall for the Leafs. What happened after being up 2-0? How did they lose that series?
Well, they allowed Florida to wake up is what happened. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised at the fact that the Maple Leafs got off to such a good start in the series, winning their first two home games, especially doing all of the second game and most of the first game without Anthony Stolarz in the net. And it just felt like they found a level that was a step higher, or if not at the even playing field, as what a Stanley Cup contending playoff team was playing at. And then, you know, they get to Florida for game three, and I think game three is where everything shifted. You know, they're up 2-0 early in the game. They're up 3-1 middle of the second period, and they completely unravel. And they unravel. They get to overtime. Marchand finds a lucky bounce in the net, and it just seemed like that was the moment that woke up Florida. Because Florida, through the first round, you know, sort of cruised their way through it. They weren't really battle-tested. They didn't have to face any adversity. And it just seemed like that team needed a little bit of adversity to wake them up, help them find their game. And I know they say momentum doesn't carry over from game to game in the playoffs, and I truly believe that. But clearly, Florida found some momentum to ring off the next three, including, you know, game five at home, which was completely embarrassing and unacceptable for a group that most people labeled as a legacy game for them. I mean, you work all season to get home ice advantage, you get your home game to regain control of the series, and you completely give it up. And I think at that point, most people had given up on this group, saying they just don't have it. And then they find a way to play that game in game six. They drag everybody back into believing in them, and they lay an egg in game seven. And when you say lay an egg, like, we spent a lot of time criticizing everything that the Maple Leafs did, but I don't think we spent enough time crediting everything Florida did. And Florida, to me, they're proving it now. They're just a juggernaut. They're just so invested into playing a certain way that other teams haven't figured out yet. And they are a tough challenge for any team. And when you get down against them, which is what, you know, you look at the two home games that the Maple Leafs lost, they got down early. And when you get down early and you got to, you know, start to take some chances, Florida exposes you even more. And the Carolina Hurricanes are figuring that out for extend right now. So that's how things happen.
I love that point you just made about not giving the other team enough credit. I say this all the time about Bills fans, which is you have to stop just watching highlights around the league and think every team is great. And why can't your team do this? Like, you have to put it in perspective. Like, when you watch your team, every team makes mistakes. Every team has to deal with issues and adversity and all these different things that go wrong with them. And if you're not paying attention to the other teams in the other league, you'll lose perspective on that very quickly. It's a tough matchup, no doubt. That said, they scored 13 goals in their first three games in the series. 13 in the first three. Four in their final four. Was it something Florida did differently schematically, Carlo? Or was it just not really doing what they were supposed to do offensively?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. So I think Florida found their game and what worked. And I think the Maple Leafs got away from their game and what worked. I think if you look at how they were beating Bobrovsky through the first two games, it was a focus on finding ozone time, getting shots towards the net, and not just getting shots towards the net, getting shots with traffic towards the net. Like, Bobrovsky was scrambling to find any of those pucks that went in, and if they weren't going in, they were finding a way to bang in a second or third chance. And then in game three, you know, like I said, they started off with that same mentality. When the game got away from them, they resorted back to their old habits of just being a safe and perimeter team. And after game five, I sent out a tweet and I said, the Maple Leafs are playing not to lose. And that's sort of a mentality that people resort back to when they start to question themselves, where they want to win, but they play not to win, and instead of play not to lose and then just play the hope game of winning. When you play that type of game against the Panthers, I mean, when you're playing not to lose because you don't want to make any mistakes, it kind of felt like that's where the Leafs were settling back into, because maybe they were starting to feel the pressures of years past creep on them and saying, oh man, we're up 2-0. We can't blow this series lead and we can't let this chance go away. And it just seems like every time this group of players puts that amount of pressure on themselves, they never seem to rise to the occasion, and they prove victim of it again.
Yeah, and maybe even more so that point resonates this year, because, Carlo, I really thought it felt like this was the team that was built the right way for these kinds of games. In fact, I remember a quote from somebody, I don't remember, maybe it was Matthews, who said a few weeks ago or a couple of months left in the season, he said, we're comfortable playing close games now. We hadn't been like that in years. And what was the book on them for the last several years? Lots of offensive firepower, but blue line and goaltending can't win close games. Berube comes in, he changes some things. Was this the right build for this team? But obviously didn't end the way they wanted, but was this the way they were supposed to be built to try and play in the playoffs?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, they've tried everything to change around this group of four, right? I mean, you can even include Morgan Rielly in the group of five. They've changed the defense. They've changed the goaltending. They've changed the forward group. They've changed the coach. They've changed the GM. At some point, you make all these changes, you got to figure out what the constant variable is here, right? Or the common denominator is. And the common denominator is they've put a trust into a certain group of players that when the spotlight's on them, they just don't seem to push through it. And, you know, with the way Berube came in and he preached structure, even in his you know, end of the year presser. He said that they got away from their structure. He holds guys. He was a guy that held guys accountable. He demanded a certain way to play. In between him and Tree Living, they brought in certain type of players to allow the players to play that way. And you could see this was a build up from the start of the season to the end because of exactly what you said. Get comfortable being uncomfortable and get comfortable in finding ways to win close games, which they were really good at this year. Really, really good at. But, you know, when it's dissected in the end, it's the thing that has haunted them in the past. In big games, they don't score. And in big games, their best players didn't show up. And, you know, you look at the way they're constructed now. This is the best group of defense they've assembled in a decade. The best tandem of goaltending that they've assembled in a decade. You know, their depth was really good. I mean, they've had different types of depth, but this was really good. Their coaching, you know, just the way he handled some of the emotions throughout the series is the best we've seen in a long time. So they had a lot of good things going for them. They lost in Game 7 to arguably the team that's going to win the Stanley Cup.
Carlo Colaiacovo on the Western Hotline. You can find him on First Up 1050 up in Toronto. Okay, let's talk about Mitch Marner. A lot of talk here, Buffalo fans. You know, he's going to be on the market. Yeah. Should the Sabres pursue him? We can get into that, but what about his tenure in Toronto? If he does leave, he goes somewhere else, how will Mitch Marner be remembered as a Toronto Maple Leaf, considering everything that happened towards the end of this series, the booing when he touched the puck, but all the great seasons he gave as well?
Well, there's three different versions of Mitch Marner that you're going to look at here. One, the player, outstanding. And I think, you know, Maple Leaf fans should be extremely grateful that, and we don't know what the future holds for him. I still believe that there's hope that he's going to be back, and we can get into that in a bit. But the player himself, I mean, the stats are proof of how good this player was. As a person, top-notch person, you know, a guy that really represents himself in a classy way, both on and off the ice. And then there's the playoff Mitch Marner, which has not lived anywhere close to the expectation of what a regular season Mitch Marner gets credited for. So what his legacy is going to be, I think his legacy is always going to be that he's going to go down as one of the Leaf greats because, you know, he has – you know, established himself in certain record books. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes you're defined on how you leave. And if he leaves in the way that most people think he's going to leave, people are always going to remember him for, you know, some of the disappointments he's left Leaf fans with his playoff performances. And I don't think that's fair. Look, I mean, playoffs is a different year. Clearly, everybody believed that he was capable of doing more and bringing more, and whatever stopped him from doing it, only he could answer. But I haven't been on the overreaction train that most people have been on since they lost, where everyone's like, oh, you got to get rid of him, you got to trade him, we got to move on. I caution Leaf fans to be careful what they wish for, because Toronto is a challenging market to play in. It's one of the best markets to play in if you win. It's one of the toughest markets to play in when you lose. And I think for Mitch Marner, the way he's handled it in his tenure here has been pretty good. He's had to deal with a lot. But considering Toronto is not on the top of everyone's list to play in, when you have good players, you got to find a way to keep them instead of finding a way to let them leave for nothing. And that's the potential that the Maple Leafs face here, is letting a star player like this leave for nothing. And that's what I'm not in favor of. I'm all in favor of change, however way it comes. But when you invest a lot like the Maple Leafs have in players like Mitch Marner, even John Tavares, where invested money, invested cap space, invested assets and draft picks, to allow those players now to leave for nothing, that's poor management, if you ask me, because you could try to find these guys in free agent. They don't always pop up. And if you go to trade for them, have you seen what their draft picks look like in the next 3 years? they've already invested a lot of those draft picks in these players. So, you know, it's hard to replace a 100-point guy in your roster. I know there's different ways you can do it with different players, but you can't always expect the same success. And this team's hung, this city and this fan base is dying for a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup. I just don't know how much closer they get if they just let a player like Marner walk for nothing.
What do you think Mitch Marner is looking for? I mean, is it money? Is it, and is there something else? Is there something different? I've heard, you know, obviously people in Buffalo are looking, there's just a polarizing guy. Why do you want him? Because, you know, you need help on the blue line. Others are like, are you kidding me? He's great. 100-point score. But I've heard from people say Chicago could be a place, right? Play with a great center. Detroit, big hockey market, you know, get a bit of a fresh start. You're still close to the Canadian border, things like that. Yeah. What is he looking for?
Well, that's the great question that everyone's hoping to get an answer to, right? Everyone wants the inside information on that. I think only Mitch knows. I think he's looking for a little bit of both. I think he's looking for, a significant pay raise. I mean, if we've learned anything from his last contract negotiation, he wants to be recognized as one of the best in the game. And I think
that's right.
He's heading into a very unique free agent market where he's the top of the class. And there's a massive injection in cap dollars. So he has a chance, regardless of if he's the guy that deserves to be the guy, he has a chance to reset the player salary market. And if you're someone in the NHLPA or you're someone who's a star player, you're wanting Mitch Marner to go that because you almost want the NHL to adopt an NFL or NBA system where every time a new player comes up, they reset the player salary market so that the players can make more money. And look, I think Mitch wants to win. I think he cares. I think he wants to find a situation where he can be both the highest paid player and give himself a chance to win. And you can find many situations in the league that provide that. I don't know if necessarily Chicago provides that. They have a ton of cap space. They can make him the highest paid guy, but how close are they to winning? So right. I think if he wants that, I think he has a chance to be that here in Toronto, to be honest with you, if they really find a way to fix things. I think it's, if you go ask Austin Matthews if he's okay with somebody making more money than him, I don't think he's going to say no. He wants to win.
Right.
And Mitch, you know, Austin Matthews' contract is up in 3 years. Well, guess what? He gets a chance to reset that market too in 3 years, and he can be the next highest paid guy. So I think it's foolish when people talk about what the player could potentially make and whether or not he's deserving it or not. Yes, you can make a case whether he deserves it, but if a team really wants him, it's going to cost a heavy penny. So, and the other case of Mitch Marner is, like, I think he would embrace a fresh start. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, any player who's got to deal with criticism the way he does sometimes outside of the rink, I think maybe going to a different market can help, you know, change the way he feels about stuff. And, you know, you talk about what people say in Buffalo. I think people in Buffalo should be open to the idea of having a player like that, you know, come to their roster, because if there's one thing that Buffalo has been a victim of is watching good players leave and win championships somewhere else. And I'm not, that's,
well, let me
not
ask you this. Right. Well, let me ask you this way then. If you're the Sabres organization, not the fan base,
is this a
play you make? Do you at least attempt? Do you go and say, we're going to pay you. You need to come here. We need to do this. Or is that not putting you follow this team enough to know what they need or not need? Like, is that something you would do?
Well, I mean, you always need star players. And I think if Buffalo can get a chance to add that, it only makes them better. I think, you know, the struggles that Buffalo has went through is that I think there's too much of an acceptance of losing there, right? I know people hate it. I know people don't want to be part of it, but it just seems like they're too comfortable with it, right? And that's something that they have to find a way to get over. And is it looking at the roster and realizing that you need more veteran players there to help, you know, teach some of the young players that losing can't be accepted there? Maybe. For me, if I'm Buffalo, and I've been telling you guys for years, go get a goalie. You know, because a goalie that can win you hockey games on his own can do so much for the confidence of the players in front of him. And is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen that guy? He's shown signs of it, but he hasn't shown consistency of it. And I think that's where they need to make the investment. Find a guy that's going to go out and win you hockey games. Because if you have a goalie A goalie can change so much of the success that you have in a season.
Okay, Brendan Shanahan parting ways with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Over a decade with the organization, what's his legacy there?
Well, his legacy has to be a very... to me, I think he's done a tremendous job here. You look at what he inherited when he first came. This team was a disaster. And there's no sugarcoating it. It was an absolute disaster. It hadn't been in the playoffs in years. And he came in and he, you know, established the culture, not just with the on-ice product, but with the off-ice product. He brought in very experienced hockey people to help lead in that direction. Did they get lucky? Yes, they got lucky. They won the first overall pick. They got Austin Matthews, but they also hit on some of their other draft picks. They hit on Marner. They hit on Nylander. And they've been able to build around those guys, even in a flat cap era. And, you know, you name me another franchise that has been the ninth straight playoffs. Tell me what Buffalo would do just to get into one playoff.
Yeah, that's right. Right? Yes, exactly.
I mean, they've been the ninth straight. In a cap era that had a flat cap world in the last couple of years, that's a huge accomplishment that they were able to stay consistent with. I mean, he's built really good teams. Did they achieve the ultimate success? No, and that's always something that'll... he'll be criticized about, but I just look at the positives when it comes to Shanahan. I was hoping that some way, somehow they would find a way to allow him to see this through a little more, because he has put together a great team when it comes to, you know, him, Tree Living, and Berube. I think they're all on a really good page together. You look at the business side of it. Brendan Shanahan was the president. He had to deal with an MLSE board, which can be challenging at times when you have a corporation that owns a team. He's made them a ton of money. So I think at the end of it, the way I reflect back on it is, I think anybody who gets Brendan Shanahan is going to get a guy that has a good feel of how to run both the business side and the hockey side of it, surrounded by the right people. And it's a shame that the Maple Leafs had to part ways, but you kind of felt like the writing was on the wall. It just seems like every year this team dances around, you know, the meat of this roster and tries to make changes around it to see if that'll, you know, help push this team forward. But I think this year is more evident than any other year that you can do whatever you want with the culture that you have and the people that you put in place. If the players don't perform, it's tough to have success.
Oilers' last chance to bring the cup back to Canada out of this Final Four. And our guy, Zach Hyman, hopefully I'll see you again this year at the golf event.
Yep,
can they do it?
You will.
Thank you. Can they? That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Can they do it? Or is this Dallas' series? And then are we looking at an All-American final again?
Well, I hate to admit this, but Dallas was my preseason pick to win the Stanley Cup. And I feel like I haven't really strayed off of that. If anything, I felt better about it when they acquired Rantanen. But I'll be completely honest with you, man. I had no hopes for Edmonton this year. Zero. Because I think the players that they brought in made them thinner compared to the players that they let go. And I guess that's maybe my fault for not trusting what Edmonton's built over there, where maybe they were a team that was still trying to overcome, and I don't know what that feeling's like. I don't think anyone's know. Like losing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, like sometimes that could take years to get over. And it seemed like it took months for the Edmonton Oilers to get over. And maybe they were just a team just ready to get back to the playoffs, because that's all that really mattered to them. And they got there, and they found another level. Even to my surprise, I'm still looking at the roster, and I'm saying, how are they doing it without McDavid and Draisaitl leading the way?
Yeah,
but credit to them. They found a formula, and that's what it's about at this time of year, man. It's about finding a formula that works and having everybody buy into it, and they found it. They let one get away from them the other night, but I hate to be proven wrong again about this team. I still can't fully commit to them, and maybe that'll be my demise this whole playoffs, but they've been very impressive in what they're doing, and I expect them to bounce back tonight.
Hey, man, I kept you a little bit long. I really appreciate it. This was really, really enlightening, really great. I'll see you July 7th up in Toronto. We'll play golf again, buddy. At Zach's charity golf tournament. That was a great time last year, and you know, we appreciate being a part of it. And we'll talk Hard Knocks next time. We'll get you on, and what do you think about the Bills being Hard Knocks?
Don't even get me started with Hard Knocks. Oh, I hated that announcement when
Oh, my God.
You name see, me a team you know that what? Has had success in a season when they've been on Hard Knocks.
All right, I got an idea. Next time we talk, let's talk about all these different sports and these behind the scenes. What? I know. Hey, next time we talk, I do want to. What's that?
We need to see a championship in Buffalo.
I know. We do. But seriously, next time we talk, I want to let's do something on like all these different sports and the behind the scenes. The hockey has a lot of them now, and football. I'd love to do that with you. I'll see you July 7th, buddy. Be good. Thanks.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. All right. All the best to you. Sounds
you got
good.
It. Take care, buddy. Yeah, you too. Thank you, Carlo Colaiacovo. Yeah, Carlo's great, and that was a great segment. We got John Gertler coming up. I just want to say that was really awesome to learn a little bit more about, you know, some insight from what's going up in Toronto about the Leafs. And yeah, Carlo and I both are at the Zach Hyman Golf Tournament coming up in July in Toronto. And we get together and play in that together. So that's really cool. So we'll take a time out now. John Gertler on the way next here on the Northtown Automotive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Of Extra Point Show on WGR. Well, we know it is the final game of the NLL season. Final game for the Buffalo Bandits. We know one team has taken home a championship, maybe a three-peat tomorrow night for the Buffalo Bandits. Tomorrow evening, I should say, 4:30 p.m. is the start time down at KeyBank Center. 4 p.m. is the pregame, and it's all right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And calling the game tomorrow will be our guy John Gertler on the radio broadcast. John joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Hey, John, what's going on, buddy?
Sal, great to be with you and stoking up for tomorrow afternoon's game.
It is amazing. And first of all, before anything, congratulations to you, Tom Borelli Award winner, Media Person of the Year in the NLL. Really cool award, and you're the recipient this year. Well-deserved. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you so much. It's quite an honor. And, you know, with Tom Borelli, right when I began with the Bandits in 2004, he was the one that helped me with the nuances of the game and all the statistics. And I would say that Tom would be proud of his student and would just love to be in the environment set for tomorrow.
And I know that you you teach as well, and that's great that you give back and do what you do. You've been in Buffalo. You broadcast a lot of different sports. We'll get into that in a little while. I want to ask you a couple of questions about that and your history doing this, but here you are again and another chance to call an NLL Finals, right? I mean, this team, they just keep giving you more and more memories, huh?
God, 5 years in a row, it's been amazing. Yeah. And, you know, the times that we lost initially, you know, like in 2004 and 6 or whatever like that, but these back-to-backs have just been a delight, and even in the losses, they've been a lot of fun. And Sal, this series has just probably been the best that I've been a part of. I mean, Saskatchewan is just doing a great job. They're a very talented team, and Buffalo tomorrow will be coming out knowing what they went through on Sunday in Saskatchewan, and they'll try to just put themselves back together and give the fans what they've been looking for, and with 19,070 on their feet, they're going to try to do it. And they certainly have their work cut out for them, but I've got all the faith in the world, this highly skilled team that'll be out on the floor tomorrow.
I don't think it's a stretch to say that maybe the Buffalo Bandits lacrosse team might have one of the best home field, home court advantages in all of sports. That's how great that crowd can be.
Oh, by far. And you've experienced too, Sal,
yep,
with your son, and just being a part of Bandit Land from the octave with inside KeyBank Center is unbelievable. And just the excitement that they bring. Steve Priolo, who's the captain of the team, knows in his deep into his soul when he walks through the doors and he hears the fan and the fans, that is, and when they come through the tunnel for the introduction, and said, now we're ready to play the game because the fans are behind them. And indeed, with the five runners out on the field, the sixth runner is going to be that fan to help this team battle this highly skilled team from Saskatchewan.
Yeah, what do they need to do differently from game two to have a better result? What did they do in game one differently in game two, or was it just a matter of a couple breaks not going their way?
Well, it's a combination of everything. I think Sunday's night's game was the fact that they couldn't control the ball on a regular basis. They certainly had their opportunities. And I think one of the things that the team has experienced of having the Rush score the game's first goal, you know, on Friday night of last week, they scored the first two goals. So the Bandits were down 2-0. Sunday evening, they were down 3-0. They have to counter that tomorrow, and I use the sales terminology of close early, close often. The Bandits need to score early and score often and just continue to buckle down on the tendencies of the game and try to hold off the surge of Saskatchewan, which they have the uncanny ability to do. But I just think the unleashing of all of the Bandit players with their unbelievable capabilities of scoring, and the defense, the way the Bandits have been playing as a team, has been phenomenal. And, of course, between the pipes with Matt Vince, you know, he's put up hockey goals against average, which is just amazing.
We know about, you know, Dane Smith, Josh Byrne, but Ian McKay is putting together an absolutely fantastic playoffs. What's been the key to unlocking him?
I think the ability for him to play up front this year and get more acclimated to being a part of the offense. He's been the Swiss Army knife of the club all the time, but spending more time up front, and for him knowing his capabilities of being a good goal scorer, and now with the identification that he is the goal scorer, and he's just got that great ability and timing, and just the positioning that McKay has, especially when he's on offense. And he's backed up by so many great guys. I mean, you know, between Josh Byrne and Dane Smith and Kyle Buchanan and Dehoka Nanakoke and Clay Scanlon, along with Chris Klutsch. I mean, they're setting him up, but he's just got that ability to score the beautiful goal. And so far, with the goals that he's been able to score in the playoffs, with 15, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, he's matching his career high in the playoffs, but he also matched his career high in the regular season. But more time that he spends up front, Sal, he's just got that uncanny ability to score those goals.
Yeah, one of the standouts so far in the playoffs. They've had so many of them throughout the season, throughout the years. John Gertler on the call tomorrow evening. Bandits going for a three-peat at Bandit Land down at KeyBank Center. 4 p.m. pregame on the radio, WGR Sports Radio 550 right here. 4:30 p.m. is the opening faceoff. Tomorrow, John, by the way, I know you come from a hotbed in Denver that's really seen some great college lacrosse, but how about this? Tomorrow I got Syracuse, Maryland in the Final Four opposite Penn State, Cortland, and then it's the Bandits playing for the championship tomorrow night.
What a great lacrosse day it's going to be, gosh, with all of their activity in Boston with the Final Four there, and then here in Buffalo with the Final Two of the NLL. Just a great day of lacrosse.
No doubt about it. All right, John, we know that you've broadcast hockey, Sabres. I mean, people might not realize we've heard the RJ call, but John was also on the call when Brad May scored against the Bruins in that the sweep of the Bruins, the overtime goal. You've broadcast hockey. I think you've broadcast football as well. Give me something. What is the most challenging sport? Lacrosse, hockey, football, anything else you've done? What's been the most challenging for a play-by-play announcer?
Well, certainly lacrosse. I mean, it's my job just to continue the play-by-play, and I love the aspect of doing radio because you just got to get into a rhythm and follow the ball and help the listener as a part of that and to paint the picture accordingly. And once you get into lacrosse, because there's so many goals being scored, it just keeps the intensity going. And if there's any nugget that you could provide during the play-by-play, or at least some room for your color analyst to jump in and make a note or two. It's just that much more, from a timing standpoint, it works out quite well. But lacrosse is certainly one that once we begin the opening face-off all the way to the end, I mean, you're going strong all the time. And it's really to draw off on the enthusiasm. And, you know, there'll be a time where I have to remember, especially when I'm doing a simulcast, when we're on doing television and radio at the same time, I have to remember right down the middle to paint the picture for the listener and continue with the time remaining in the quarter, the score, and just kind of an update where the television viewer obviously is going to see the score because of the graphics, but that's the responsibility that I have as a play-by-play guy to make sure that I'm carrying the radio listener and also the television viewer as well. So it's a fine line when you're doing a simulcast, but tomorrow when I get to do radio and I'm more of the home team type of guy, you know, I could stoke up a little bit more of the goal calls. Whereas when I'm on television, I have to remember too that I'm doing the game for the visiting team as well in their city. That's why I always kind of mention that we welcome our viewers in San Diego or Denver, and, you know, to make sure that they know that we're giving them kind of a write down a bipartisan call. So I don't really put a lot of emphasis on the goals being scored, even though I do a little bit more for the Bandits, but I also pump up a little bit of the visiting team because I know that we've got viewers who are from the visiting team because our television feeds go into their market. So I have to be right there, just kind of like a network guy, you know. You want to kind of paint the picture and give the teams their oomph as well.
Yeah, I understand that. And like you said, you got to have the energy for lacrosse. It's so funny, right? If you listen, so different than calling a baseball game, for example, right? There's so much time in between. Now, you got to have a certain personality to be on. I mean, lacrosse, it's a good 2.5 hour call that you got to be really kind of energetic the whole time.
Yep, you got to carry it all the way through end to end for sure. Baseball to me would be the toughest game. I mean, that is
okay.
I would think that, you know, haven't called too many baseball games, but boy, you got that time in the middle between pitches, and you better come up with some good nuggets that are timely that your viewer and listener are going to enjoy, just not filling the air. And when the play comes, you know, when there's a hit out to center or something like that, it could be a double play coming up or something. You got to make sure you're right on your toes with that. And then all the statistics. But, you know,
well,
basketball,
listen,
too, is difficult because you've got your play-by-play, and then you have your color analyst who continually has to fill in with points and pieces. And, you know, if there's a three or a baseline jumper or driving into the paint, you know, you got to be there on that. But then you have to make sure that you get your color analyst in there. And that's why I think that in lacrosse, Steve Bermel, who's been working with me now for a handful of years, does such a great job. He knows when we go through a transition or if the ball's in the corner and the guys pick it up, he can jump in and give his analysis and a couple of nuggets to go along with that. And then, of course, we have Dave Buchanan, who's down on the turf, who's the field reporter, just like you, that you got to make sure that you bring him into the game, too, to fill in some of the blanks that we might not be able to see or hear what's going on. So it all combines together. And especially when we do it on radio, and what you'll hear tomorrow with Dave and Steve being on the call as well, we try to compliment each other on what's going on. And, you know, it just miraculously, nobody steps on anybody's toes.
I love it. I'm glad that you gave them their due as well. And obviously you'll hear everybody tomorrow on the broadcast starting at 4 p.m. here on WGR Sports Radio 550. 4:30 p.m. is the face-off. John, I have no doubt you could call baseball, because I've talked with you. You would have great stories to share in between. Trust me, I know that. You could come up with some great stories. And hopefully the Bandits give you another lifetime memory tomorrow night, buddy.
I certainly hope so. It'll be, with a 4:30 start, it's kind of out of the ordinary, you know, with regimes, and you've experienced that in the NFL of the odd times that the teams come out on the field to play. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a challenge for both teams in order to get their, because they have their daily regimes, you know, where, for example, the Bandits are going to do a shoot around. They'll serve breakfast tomorrow at 7 a.m. over at the arena. And then they'll have a shoot around at 8 o'clock. They'll go into a video session, and then they'll serve the team a brunch. But then, you know, you've got to make sure that the guys feel that they've got their regime down to a point where generally what happens is you go through and you've got breakfast and you have the shoot around, and then you've got lunch, and then the guys take a nap, and then, you know, you get ready for the 7:30 game. So it's going to be a challenge for the boys, but certainly with the fans, with Bandit Land, as we've all experienced, they'll certainly strike the match there for the boys. And of course, we've got the party in the plaza as well, beginning at 2:30.
There you go. So
that will get everything loosened up a little bit for the fans, and when they come through the portals for the 4:30 face-off. So it'll be good. It'll be a wild one tomorrow, Sal.
Yeah, for sure. 2:30 is the party in the plaza. Just want to make sure we get that right for everybody out there. Okay, good. 2:30 party in the plaza. Yep.
A lot of
dressing your Bandits gear, right? Dressing your orange and your big hats and your jerseys and everything.
Bandit Land will be well colored tomorrow for sure, with everybody wearing the colors proudly. And you know they'll do that. And it's always fun at the party in the plaza just to see everybody congregate together and all the colors and people that wear. And then they'll get tightened up, and I'm sure listen to the pregame show while they're out there at 4. We have Ed Camo, who's the head coach of Georgia, will be joining us on the pregame show to give his analysis, because he was the club that lost the first game to Saskatchewan. So we're going to pick his brain a little bit and, you know, use a guy that, you know, maybe we can't see the forest before the trees sometimes in a tough series like this. And we're gracious that Ed will be a part of our pregame show as well to give us a little bit of an analysis to set the fans, get their opportunity to understand what's going on.
All right, John, love it. By the way, if this rain holds off, depending on that, I'll be one of the radio listeners tomorrow, because we have a Little League tournament. So we'll see where that goes. But you'll be bringing those pictures to me and my family as well. Enjoy the call tomorrow. I know you do already, but have fun with it, buddy. Thanks for doing this today.
You do the same, and good luck to Max tomorrow.
All right, you got it. That is John Gertler, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bandits NLL Lacrosse Championship tomorrow, final game. The best of three, it's the final game of the three-game series. Somebody's winning the title tomorrow. Will it be the Bandits going for a three-peat tomorrow at KeyBank Center? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday on your Memorial Day weekend, heading into that here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Have we decided, is it Derek and Zach or Zach and Derek? Do we have this? What do we know?
I feel like it should be Derek.
I just threw this
Zach
at you now, so I'm going to put it on you.
I'm older.
That's right. Yeah, you are older. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you guys are there. Okay, good.
Josh turned our mics on.
I'm glad you're
like,
there.
Yeah, Josh turned our mics on. I'm like, I'm going to chime in on this.
Did you guys ever see, was it Siskel and Ebert? Remember they used to do movie ratings, movie reveals, Siskel and Ebert? They were
I've never even heard of
you don't know who they are?
No, I've never even heard of that.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm
Derek,
so old.
Derek, you have a look that you may
As Mike Shope says, this show has never sounded older, right? Siskel and Ebert. Okay, they were two guys who would review movies. It was a weekly TV show. They would review movies. They'd show clips of the movies, and they'd say, this is great about this. This is what I love about it. And the acting and the lighting and all that. And they became very renowned for doing this. They were very, very popular. Okay, anyway, I saw one time they had an interview with them, and they're like, why is it Siskel and Ebert? It was Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel are their names. And they said, we'd flip the coin. Why wasn't it Ebert and Siskel? We flipped a coin. Literally, that's how they decided how to call the show.
I love that.
This Yep, they flipped a coin. So
I feel like
one guy
also
the name
my
first.
Name is clunkier because it's two syllables versus your one.
So
like you
Zach
start,
and Derek, Derek and Zach.
Yeah, I feel like you end it smooth with that one syllable
right,
name.
Right.
I don't know. I'm kind of saying it the other way a little more smooth for me.
Yeah, it could be either way, I guess. Because like the K at the end of my name, like it's that hard. Okay, yeah, it's over. It's
I
Zach
think it
and
should
Derek.
Be. How about this? You guys have these two good, they're your real last names, but they fit on air. You could be Kramer and Jones or Jones and Kramer.
That sounds
How about that?
I'm surprised my last name has not been used more like for radio because it is just Jones. It's quick
this
and easy.
This summer's new buddy cop film, Kramer and Jones.
There it is.
Kramer and Jones. That's exactly it right. It definitely sounds like a cop
Hutch.
Drama.
We got this.
It sounds like a cop drama. Anyway, the two cops are coming up next. They're going to police you for the next few hours here on WGR. Have a great, great Memorial Day weekend. You guys have a great show. I'll talk to everybody on Tuesday when I'm in on the morning show with Joe DiBiase. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.